All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You're watching Oilers Nation Every Day with Tyler Yaremchuk. Your one-stop shop for all things Oilers.
I hate the province of Ontario. All of it. All of them. Every part of it. Can't stand it. Let's get into it with the lead. I only hate you if you're from the province of Ontario and you don't watch Oilers Nation every day. That's how I will cover up for that edition of the lead. Welcome into the show. A Monday edition of Oilers Nation Every Day live from the Sports Closet Studio, live on the Oilers Nation YouTube. I am in this version of the Sports Closet Studio. Liam's in the other version of the Sports Closet Studio. Huh? Liam, what's going on?
Not much. I'm back from my weekend of reset and I'm feeling ready. I'm ready to talk about two Oilers terrible games.
You went and visited our friends out in Jasper at the JPL. How was your weekend, buddy?
It was good. The weather was nice. Last time we went to the JPL, we had to drive home in a snowstorm. So it was nice to drive home with the clear skies on the way there. It was a nice, easy drive home. Nice, easy drive there. It was good. The weather was delightful. Had a nice walk around the Five Lakes.
Great. That sounds great. Sounds like you had a lovely weekend. And the Oilers, oh, they didn't give you a lot to be happy about. That was a tough one over the weekend, or a couple of tough ones for the Edmonton Oilers. We're going to break that all down today on the show. We're also going to be joined by our friend Bruce Kerlock in about 15 to 20 minutes. And he's going to talk to us about the state of the Oilers right now. Also a little bit about what's going on down in Bakersfield with the Condors. But Liam, I want to start with this. The Oilers go out to Ontario. They begin a three-stop Canadian road trip with games against Toronto and Ottawa. They come out of it with 0 points. Does this absolutely cook any chance of them winning the Pacific Division? They are now 10 points back of the Vancouver Canucks. Even if you win the games in hand, even if you beat the Vancouver Canucks in your head-to-head game, you are still 4 points back, and at that point, it'd be 4 points with 10 games to go. I think it's cooked, man. I don't think there's any chance of them catching Vancouver. Not to be a Debbie Downer and be all doom and gloom on a Monday, but I just think it's too big.
Yeah, no, I agree. I've actually thought it was a bit too big for a while now, and the respect needs to be on Vancouver, too. They've had a great season, and they've not really swayed too far away from the track that they've been on all year long. And now for the Oilers, the focus is on locking up second place. If you look at the standings, the Kings are not too far away now, and Vegas, 5 points back, maybe a bit too far. But It's still Vegas, and I just think Oilers got to focus on winning some games here and just locking down second in the Pacific. But also, just reading the chat, I am not too concerned about what happened at the weekend. It wasn't good by any means, don't get me wrong, but like, sometimes you're going to have bad nights. It's, I've said this a few times now. It's not easy to always go into a road barn and win a hockey game. Ottawa, it should have been maybe a bit easier, and we can talk about that eventually as the show goes on here. But Toronto, like, it's a tough place to go win hockey games as well. They're a good team too. The others got embarrassed, but let's not overreact. Some people are talking about, oh, we didn't need a goalie, you all said, and how is this team going to win any games going down the stretch? Like, okay, let's chill out a little bit, people. Oilers are a very good team.
Oh, I had all those little loser Twitter trolls coming at me the other day after the Ottawa loss, or yesterday after the Ottawa loss, and they're bringing up the tweet I had from whatever a month and a half ago when I was like, hey, I don't think the Oilers need a goalie anymore. Calvin Pickard keeps passing every test you throw his way, right? And I had all those little trolls come in and replying to it and retweeting it and doing their little bullshitty whatever. Calvin Pickard still has a .913 save percentage. And also, if you want to sit there and be one of the little losers who brings up a tweet from 6 weeks ago after the loss to Ottawa, where yes, Pickard wasn't good. He had a .733 save percentage. Why weren't you bringing up that tweet after he stopped all 41 shots against Pittsburgh? What about the .920 and the big win over Montreal? Now we're ignoring that one too. What about a couple nights before that when he basically got a shutout, when he gave up one goal on 23 shots to Pittsburgh, ignoring that one, ignoring the .909 against Columbus? Like, it's just so dumb. Like, again, goalies can have bad games. Every goalie is going to have bad games. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, best goalie in the NHL since Christmas. Liam, how did he look against the Oilers at Rogers Place last week?
Not good.
Not good. He gave up, what, 7 or 8 goals in that hockey game? Like, again, you can sit there and be like, oh, Pickard isn't the... Find me which backup goalie was traded at the deadline that would have been a clear-cut upgrade on Calvin Pickard.
Maybe Jake Allen.
Jake Allen. The Oilers were going to sign him for an extra year of Jake Allen and use what picks to get him. If they were willing to use those picks, they would have went and got Toffoli. If they would have had the money to do it, they would have went and got Toffoli. You know?
Yeah, I agree. I think we need to just calm down. If you're here for the bad, you've got to be here for the good as well. And Pickard said, like, these games are going to happen. Also, 3 of those goals were on the power play. Like, the Oilers penalty kill was just terrible as well, like on Sunday against Ottawa. So you got to help him out there too. But wasn't good. I'm not saying he was great. He needs to be better.
He needs to be better. Okay, you know what? Let's get into it. Let's go through the scoring summary for that game against Ottawa. For our friends at Service Credit Union, the Service Big Share contest is back and in full swing. It's your chance to win $1 million just by saving money. Anyone can enter by becoming a member and saving with Service. Save in a daily banking account, invest in a GIC, and more. You can even transfer your existing savings to Service for a chance to win $1 million. Every $500 saved gets you 5 entries into the Service Big Share contest. Your chance to take a crack at a $1 million grand prize. Contest ends April 30th, 2024. Skill test required. For rules, visit service.ca/win. All right, let's get into that scoring summary against Ottawa. The Oilers open the scoring. Adam Henrique's 20th of the season. It was nice to see him find the back of the net. He obviously got elevated up to the top 6. Oilers make it 1-0. Ottawa responds not long after. First power play goal, it was Jacob Chychrun hammering it home. And now, yes, there's a nice little look at Adam Henrique, but this Chychrun goal. Okay, play down low, flipped in front, 1-timer. Pickard maybe could have moved across a little bit better, but still, that's a nice saucer pass and a good offensive defenseman hammering home a shot. Eh?
Yeah, like that. It was a good goal, too, to Ottawa's credit. Like, that pass across had to be basically perfect for Chychrun to have a chance of scoring there, and he did. And give him credit. I don't really love that we just lay on the ground in that moment. Like, yeah. Maybe, like, I know they do that often, and it's clearly something that they want to do, but it's just like, oh, like, maybe cover open guys and stuff like that. But again, like, they had to make pretty much a perfect pass for this to happen, but just wide open. And we saw this play again later on in the game, very similar at least.
Yeah. Oilers open up the scoring in the second. They get back-to-back power play goals of their own. Leon Draisaitl gets his 37th. Zach Hyman finds the back of the net for his 50th. We're going to really break down that Hyman goal in just a little bit, so we'll save that. But this Draisaitl shot, holy crap. That is the kind of goal that, honestly, like, only Leon Draisaitl can score. That is such a unique ability to, from that angle, generate that kind of power and find the back of the net.
Yeah, like I obviously we watch all these games and not often do I say like whoa, just like openly, but when Drysdale scored his goal, I was literally Samuel. I was like, wow, like that was a crazy goal. Just to, the way he scored it, like where he is on the ice there, and just like the goaltender's reaction was like, how did that go in? And we probably haven't seen this as much as we maybe would want from Leon Draisaitl this season, but we all know he's got it in the bag whenever the opportunity is there and they really need it. Just unreal goal.
Yeah. Okay. I am not going to gloss over the Zach Hyman 50th goal, but we want to give that its whole entire own segment. So we're just going to continue along. The Oilers give up a couple of goals after that. And this game was 3-3 going into the third. Tim Stützle with his 18th of the season. He rips in down the wing again. Piss poor neutral zone defense by the Oilers. And Tim Stützle, a very damn good hockey player, basically unchecked, can just pick his spot on Pickard. I'm not mad at Pickard for that.
No, I mean, I'm not happy with it because he's like short side, and it's like you probably could have made a stop on it, but also that like you're giving this guy a wide open opportunity to just have his chance to score on the Oilers' backup goaltender. The defense needed to be better on this play. And it just felt like whenever in this game, the Oilers were giving up chances, which was very few, but Ottawa hit the crossbar in the first like 10 seconds of the game too. They were just grade A chances, and Ottawa, yes, not had a good season by any means, but they do have guys who can bite you in the ass. And those guys did exactly that on Sunday. And Tim Stützle is obviously one of them. It was a good finish by him, but just everything in front was not good at all.
Then it was Drake Batherson who finds the back of the net. This one was again on the power play, and it comes on the heels of whatever the hell kind of penalty call that one is. It just absolutely made no sense. That was a terrible, terrible call by the refs. Batherson gets to come in and pick his corner on Calvin Pickard again. And this will be something I'll say after we watch the final goal as well. And we can actually just get right to it. The Chychrun power play goal with 3 minutes and 3 seconds left that ends up being the winner. Like again, Batherson has a ton of time, comes in and picks his spot. Also, refs made a terrible call. And then we're looking at this one here. Again, a great seamed saucer pass across, and Chychrun hammers home the one-timer. This is the one I probably like the least just because I felt like Pickard could have played his angle a little bit better. But he gave up 4 goals in that hockey game. None of them were weak goals, Liam. You would have loved one more save. I'm not saying you wouldn't, and I'm not excusing Calvin Pickard. Again, he had to make one more save in that hockey game to give the Oilers a better chance at winning. But people were going out there acting like he gave up 5 goals all on the ice from the blue line unscreened. Like, he got beat on some good shots. So again, he has given the Oilers a lot of really good starts in the last 2 months. I just feel like for people to be piling on Pickard, it was just such a loser mentality.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I think two games that are kind of mirror each other a little bit. I think the offense was better in this game, but when they played Minnesota a couple of weeks ago at Rogers Place and they lost 4-2, was it 4-1, whatever it was. And the Oilers really limited the shots on Pickard. But the goals that went in, granted a couple of mistakes, the one that stands out is CC overpassing it to Nurse and then they score. It's like, but Pickard was making mistakes in goal that night. I agree with you. Like this game, I don't think he made mistakes. That fourth goal was definitely the weakest one. He probably could have had that. They did hit him and kind of go right through him. But like, the Oilers just giving their best players, the center's best players, grade A opportunities. And you're asking your goalie, yes, Pickard is having a good season as much as people want to doubt him some nights. You're asking him to do a lot there. And he can only do so much at the end of the day. The Oilers needed to tighten up desperately defensively in both games over the weekend. And they failed to do so. And I think the disappointing part about the Senators game rather than the Toronto game is that you should have learned a lesson from what you experienced on Saturday night. To go into Ottawa, 10 seconds into the game, they ring one off the crossbar, which would have really set the tone for that entire game. And then just to go out like the way you did, and even in the third period, like say whatever you want about the Ekholm penalty, like it was called at the end of the day, but how can you not play a little bit stronger on that penalty kill? Being like, okay, like refs are clearly not giving us the easy calls tonight like they're giving the Senators, but we're just going to leave Jacob Chychrun wide open on the other side again to score. And the Batherson one just like literally skates through and just rips a shot. Like, what is that stuff? Like, it was weird. Very uncharacteristic penalty kill, I think, considering how well they've been for the season as a whole. Obviously, ups and downs, but just really, really down yesterday.
Yeah, and someone in here, I'm sorry, the chat's moving too fast for me to keep up with it, but it was a barbershop window. Sorry, goalies are allowed to make saves on good shots. Again, I'm not sitting here saying Calvin Pickard is a saint and Calvin Pickard's a 1B, whatever. Calvin Pickard is what he is. He is an average backup goaltender at the NHL level. That is who the Oilers have. What should your expectations be of him to come in and, you know, keep you somewhat in the mix of a hockey game? And he should have made one more seat. Or one more save. Absolutely. Needed one more stop for the Oilers. People acting like he needs to come in here and stand on his head. It's not going to happen. You're setting the guy up for failure if those are your expectations of him. So, again, we'll move off that conversation just because I think it's so pointless to even be having it. Instead, let's get to the one positive from the weekend. It's our Douglas mattress moment of the game. Named Canada's best mattress on Canadian living, and it's loved by more than 200,000 Canadians. You can avoid pushy salesmen with easy online ordering and get Douglas delivered in a box to your doorstep with free shipping coast to coast to coast. Order today at douglas.ca/OilersNation. And right now, every mattress order is coming with a free comfort sleep bundle, two memory foam pillows with pillow protectors, one luxurious cotton sheet set, one mattress protector free with any mattress order. Support a locally owned and operated Edmonton company and order today at douglas.ca/OilersNation. Liam, the Douglas mattress moment of the game, it's very easy. It's the moment of the weekend. It could be, hell, the moment of the season. Zach Hyman buries goal number 50, and he does it in, oh, baby, classic Zach Hyman fashion. Right on the doorstep, pops it home. It was great to see him have his big moment. There was a part of me when he didn't do it in Toronto. I was like, man, I hope Hyman kind of does it on home ice, but keeping that guy off the score sheet for back-to-back games, that's not happening. Zach Hyman, 50 goals, man. If you would have told me at the start of the year this dude's scoring 50, I honestly, even as an optimistic Oilers guy, I probably would have called you insane.
Totally. Not even the fact, you know, like you said, like if you had said he had scored 50, that he would lead the team in goals. It's like the craziest part about all this too is just what he's been able to do, and the reaction to this goal was, oh, it just gave me goosebumps, to be honest. Just the way they were all over him, just so happy for him, and the bench reaction. And we saw it similar the other week when Connor Brown got his first goal as well. This team really does care about each other and they want to see each other succeed. And but Zach Hyman just, it's funny, isn't it? Like you look at where all these goals come from. I think they said on Hockey Night in Canada on Saturday that he has 40 or 41 high danger goals this season, which is the most in the NHL by a long shot by the sounds of it. So just crazy. You couldn't have happened to a better player for the Oilers, right? Just the way it all went down. And vintage Zach Hyman tapping it into an empty net. The empty net merchant with a goalie in it.
Yeah, I know there was that guy who kind of went, whatever, a little viral on Twitter because he was doing Zach Hyman ethical and unethical goals, like which ones were just tap-ins and which ones he deserved. Hey, if it was that easy to just go to the net and score goals, everyone would probably score 50 goals, right? And I know people love to do the whole, well, he plays with McDavid. Like, of course he's going to score a lot. Okay, you could knock Zach Hyman for scoring tap-ins or playing with McDavid if they paid him $9 million a year as a 50-goal guy. Like, sure, then I could sit there and be like, yeah, you're right. If you're paying $9 million, you want a guy who can maybe drive play a little bit better and produce offense on his own. They pay him $5.5 million. The fact he can get anywhere close to 50, never mind hit it, with 10 games left in the season is absolutely insane. He is without a doubt the best value contract in the NHL. He is without a doubt the best free agent signing in Oilers history, and he's probably the best free agent signing of the salary cap era. I'm not, again, relative to the cost, I'm not sure how you can make an argument against that. He's dynamite, man. And if you want to sit there and call him the tap-in merchant or playing with McDavid, blah, 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 I don't think you watch Oilers games all that closely. Yes, Shaq Hyman, elite nickname. He's just unbelievable. And the story of a guy who was basically never the best player on his hockey team, but at every level he went to, he found a way to work his ass off and become one of the top guys. For him to now do that with the Edmonton Oilers is unbelievable. For him to do it in Ontario, where he's from, was a great cap on the weekend as well. This dude deserves all the love he's getting and then some.
Oh, 100%. Like I saw one of those, that video too that you were talking about, and somebody commented saying, maybe it was the same guy, he would score 12 if he was playing with Ryan McLeod. I was like, yeah, man, no kidding. Like, obviously. Yeah, like what's the discussion here? But just his interview too, staying on the positives with Gene in the intermission, talking about, he's just like, yeah, just no one believed that I could get to this point. And like you said, he was never the best player on his teams. And just, you know, what was he, like a fifth, sixth round pick to get 50 goals in one season in the NHL? And like, he might never get 50 again. But the season he's been able to put together this year, like, I would not care less if he had like 30 goals the rest of the way. And obviously that's a huge amount, but even if he was like 20 off next season and he only got 30, like that's still a great accomplishment for the contract the Oilers have attached to him. And I'm pumped for him. I hope he can continue doing this in the playoffs too and be a huge contributor like he has been all season.
Yeah. And that'll be the next thing, obviously, for Hyman and the Oilers will be keeping the production going in the playoffs. But again, just zeroing in on this accomplishment, I did think, and it's without a doubt our Douglas Mattress moment of the weekend, but I want to again tie this into another segment that we do every show. And just, you can tell by that reaction how loved he is in that locker room and by his teammates. So I want to get to a couple of the quotes that we got from the weekend. It's Sounds of the Oil. It's presented by the Snow Valley Aerial Park and the Rainbow Valley Campground. The Snow Valley Aerial Park opens up on May 31st. Family fun all summer long. And maybe you're coming into town, you want to do some camping in the city. The Rainbow Valley Campground is the only campground in the city of Edmonton. Online bookings are opening soon. Head to rainbow-valley.com for more information. After the game, Zach Hyman on his teammates' reaction to his 50th goal. He said, quote, "It was special. Leon was right next to me and just saw the excitement on his face. He knows how hard it is to get here and for him to be on the ice, and Connor, 250 goal scorers, to be joining them. And then Perry gave me a big hug and welcomed me to the club, which was just special to have teammates that care that much about you, to share in your milestones and successes. It's what the game is all about. It's really a family in here. Everybody cares. Everybody cares about each other." I thought it was great that he shone some light into his teammates' reactions, because Liam, that's the first thing I noticed when we saw that highlight, was the way Leon Draisaitl, who had scored in that game and really didn't look all that bothered when he'd scored his own goal, kind of like, eh, I don't really care. When Hyman scored, Draisaitl was fired up. McDavid went and got the puck, then came and gave Zach Hyman a big hug. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, I thought it was... It was just nice to see. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of a basic way to say it, but it's just cool. Like, you don't see those raw reactions all the time in hockey, right? Like, we get fired up sometimes when McDavid, like, really celebrates a goal. And again, we saw it with Connor Brown the other week, but just see, like, it was instant. As soon as he scored that, Leon Draisaitl was all over him. And then everyone's coming in. You saw Bush. I think he was the last guy in, and he was probably the last guy. And everyone was on him by like within 3 seconds. It was just amazing. And I just looked it up then too. He wasn't even drafted into the OHL. To play in the OJHL for 2 years. And then granted, he went to Michigan, but he took the long way around to get to being a 50 goal scorer in the NHL. Just really a crazy story.
Yeah. Chris Knobloch, Oilers head coach, on the Oilers' reaction to Hyman's goal, said, quote, "On the bench, I got goosebumps. I was so happy. It was nice to see a hardworking guy, an honest guy, reach a milestone like that, and just how close the guys are and how happy they were for him. Definitely seems like a moment that really brought the team together." I want to push back, though. I know we got Bruce Kerlock coming up, and I don't want to take a lot of time on this, but there was a take, I think Christopher Palmer put it in the chat first, and I saw some other people agreeing with it. It was the idea that this weekend, the focus was on Hyman and his 50th, and now that they're past it, the team will focus up and will be A-OK. Just need to exhale, sky ain't falling. I agree. Fans need to exhale. Yes, totally. We all need to exhale. The sky is not falling. I agree. But if we're sitting here and saying the reason the Oilers played like crap for the majority of that weekend is because they were too focused on Zach Hyman's 50th goal, if you believe that, then this is the most mentally fragile team in the NHL, and they're going to lose in 5 games in round one. If your teammate being on the brink of 50 goals causes everything around you to totally evaporate in your game, this team is... they're hooped. And I'm saying hooped is a way to not drop an F-bomb on the show.
Yeah, I mean...
Like, what are we doing?
I don't think that was the case at all. I think, yes, it was obviously a focus. Like, they wanted to help him get there, specifically in Toronto. But it does get to a point, it's like, basically, when you step on the ice, like, that becomes pretty much irrelevant.
Yeah.
And also, they just find Zach Hyman anyway if he was on 2 goals on the season or 50 goals on the season. Like, he's just there to score goals for his team, and he's doing a great job doing it.
Yeah, I know. Okay, not fragile, sure, KP, but it seems they were looking for it. So, yeah, I'm sure they were looking for it. But again, like that doesn't excuse like sloppy neutral zone play and brain farts in the D zone and all that. Like, come on. All right. That was an unnecessary spicy take, Tyler. Okay, yeah, maybe. Maybe I'm grouchy today. I didn't exactly have the best of weekends. Let's get into the Star Mechanical guest line, Edmonton's number one plumbing and heating company. It's been that way for north of 20 years. You can trust your local Star, whether it's for residential or commercial. They got you covered. Head to starmechanical.ca for more information. Bruce Kerlock, our writer from Oilers Nation, covers everything. Oilers, Condors, he does it all. Bruce, welcome back to the show. How's it going?
Very good, gentlemen. How are you guys today?
Well, the chat's spicy, so there we always got that going for us on the show. What did you make of the six periods of hockey we saw from the Oilers this weekend? Is there anything that maybe you saw that is giving you cause to be concerned about this team as we head into the final stretch of regular season games?
Well, Ontario, I think, is always a bit of a wild card trip, right? I mean, I can't remember the number. I thought it was 11 or 13 of the players are from Ontario on the team. So, you know, I mean, you can get some of that. Is there anything that I saw that was, you know, something to worry about going forward? Not really. I mean, they're going to go through these ups and downs just like any other team. We're just not used to them, right? I mean, we've had quite an incredible run. So, yeah, I'm not that fussed. I guess if there was anything I'd be a little bit worried about is Vinny Desharnais. And I'm not really picking on him. I just wonder if he's hurt, because he is certainly not the same player he was since the fight in which he hurt his hand, or allegedly hurt his hand. He doesn't look the same to me. And so I'd be a little bit worried about that. But if it's just injury, then, you know, he's got some time.
Yeah, the finger, I can confirm it was a gnarly one from the people I talked to. So you're hoping that's something he can just kind of get out of his system again in the final 10 games here. I know there's been a lot of talk about the blue line and people want to see more Troy Stetcher and all that, but I think there's an equally interesting conversation to have about the forward group. We saw Evander Kane go out of the lineup for the game against Ottawa. We've seen Chris Knobloch, you know, really move around his forward group a lot. He doesn't run with a ton of consistent line mates. If it was night one of the playoffs, what are a few things that you would like to see in the way the Oilers forward group is structured? Are there any duos you think they really need to keep together, or like anything like that? What are a few things you'd like to see in the night one playoff lineup?
Well, I think having 97 and 29 split would be the first thing for sure. I think Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Hyman with McDavid makes all the sense in the world. You know, it's the second line that always becomes the issue here. You know, the solution has been to date has been to kind of run McLeod and Fogle there. I don't know that that's a long-term solution or not. Kane is an interesting part of this equation. You know, I'm so torn on this player. It's clear his performance isn't good enough. It hasn't been good enough. Is it injury? I'm not sure. What I do know is the type of game he operates or he plays is one that is built for the postseason. The presumption is it looks like it. You know, it's LA. That's a good fit for him, the way they play, the way he plays. So, you know, and then there's this question about him and Draisaitl, which I think is a totally overblown narrative. But, you know, it's something that's there. So, I mean, I think those are the big things. You know, the bottom six, boy, you need more speed there. You know, it's just too slow. It's just too slow. It worry, you know, LA is a three-line team for sure. Vegas is a three-line team for sure. Colorado's a three-line team for sure. You are leaving yourself awfully exposed if that third line looks the way it has looked recently. It's just too slow. And, you know, you have some options there, but those would be my things that would be focused on. I think the lineup's better with McDavid and Draisaitl split and a little more speed down the lineup.
Well, I think the one player everybody wants to see in Edmonton is playing in Bakersfield, and his name is Dylan Holloway, who would definitely help him with that speed. The problem is every time he comes up, they never play him. And I think that's something that would have to change, obviously. But my question would be, is how is he doing, and when would you expect him to come up to Edmonton?
So he's been great. You know, he's playing center. He's playing 20 minutes a night, maybe even 22 minutes on some nights. He's playing first power play. He's playing one PK. His face-off ability has been really something that's been quite outstanding. He is very strong in the circle, which is great news. You know, his speed is obviously a defining part of his game, and you see it all over the ice down there. You know, it's interesting. I tell you, when you watch him play down there, it's if that team isn't going, the coach moves him around from line to line, that line goes almost instantly. You know, he's too good for the league, for sure. He's too good for the league. So he would be a great addition here. You know, when does he come? I think that's a salary cap scenario, right? As far as I know, unless the general manager wants to sit down with the coach and talk about, you know, some other players, I think they're, I don't know what else you do. I think he's there till, well, April 1 for sure. But he's been fantastic. I think the bigger question with him is, where are you playing him? Right. Like he, and I don't mean third line, fourth line, second line. I mean center or left wing, because he is playing a lot of center and he's playing it very well. And to the extent, I wonder, this is not a this year conversation, but boy, I wonder a lot about what they think about him in a 3C role as opposed to Ryan McLeod. He plays the role, or he plays that position, more like a conventional center. It's not a disrespect to Ryan McLeod by any stretch, but Dylan Holloway plays in the middle of the ice, just like Leon does, just like Connor McDavid does, just like Ryan Nugent-Hopkins does, much more than Ryan McLeod does. And I wonder if they see that and they think about that a lot. You know, that's an extra conversation, but I that would be the question I would have. You bring him up, where are you playing him? That's the big one to me.
Yeah, and I mean, they've built up such an interesting group of players who can play center. We know Nuge, we know Henry can play there, McLeod can play there. So yeah, when he does come up, where exactly do you slot him? I mean, maybe there's something to be said about just keeping Henrique on the wing next to a guy like Draisaitl, and maybe your third line is Holloway down the middle and McLeod on the left side. Like there are a bunch of different possibilities here that I think are really, really interesting as they head into the playoffs.
I agree.
Another name down in Bakersfield. And I mean, this is not a guy we're going to see in the playoffs, not a guy we're going to see to start next season, but I wanted to get your take on Max Wanner and just how big of a step maybe you've seen him take this season. Right. How close are we to having a conversation about this guy being an Oiler?
Well, he needs a year, right? Another year. This is his first year. He's a rookie. He's just turned 21. And, you know, really, other than center, he is playing, you know, the hardest skating position in professional hockey. So, and he's doing it very well. You know, could you see him for, you know, a couple of games at the end of next season? Like this season, you know, you got 6-9, and inevitably, I'm sure we'll see some kids or some players that we wouldn't normally see. Would you see him next year in that role? Probably, but you're probably a year and change away. But I mean, I almost think it's a little bit unfair to suggest that, you know, it's really been this massive jump this year. This goes back to me to the prospect tournament in Penticton 2 years ago. Like he came out of nowhere. You know, I was familiar with him as a defensive defenseman, and all of a sudden he started seeing these evasive maneuvers against young pros and high draft picks, carrying the puck, advancing the puck by pass, playing physical, in that tournament, there was only one player better than him in the whole tournament, and that was Dylan Holloway, who absolutely destroyed that tournament. And Max Wanner was not very far behind. And so, you know, whatever he did from that year, from that season to that tournament, it you know, it really worked. And, you know, this year, I mean, he's physical, he's mean, He's very smart in his own zone. He's got a great stick. And I like, now you're starting to see some offense. You know, I talked about him yesterday in the weekly prospect report. Like, he's shooting the puck now. The puck's getting through. You know, I used an analogy of Michael Kesselring, which, you know, is something I try to use a little bit with defensive defensemen. It doesn't always work. Desharnais would be an example where his shot, you know, shot metrics didn't change, but, you know, Kesselring, you could see the offense come because he was starting to get his shots through. And you can see the same thing with Wanner. He's found money. Like, he's absolutely found money. I'd be very surprised if he didn't play NHL games. How many he plays, I'm not sure, but boy, his trajectory is really good right now.
That 2021 draft for the Oilers is slightly pretty good. It's kind of weird. Like, they have Petrov in the sixth round. St. Lachance was a sixth round pick. Yeah. Wanner a seventh. But was it Munzenberger was a third round pick? I saw you tweet about him a few times. What is going on with that guy right now? Because he's basically done nothing at Vermont. But when I've watched him with Germany, he seems to play a completely different role. Is he going to come to Bakersfield, or where are we at with him, do you think?
Well, he's a junior, right? So he just finished his junior year. So, I mean, in theory, he could go back for his senior year. I mean, I have heard nothing that says that he isn't interested in playing with the Oilers organization. I mean, signability always a question with a college kid, but he's a German kid. And I mean, I can't think that, you know, having Leon Draisaitl on the team would be a, you know, wouldn't do anything but help the situation. So, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I agree with you, Liam, 100%. He's a different player when he plays with Germany than he plays in Vermont. I don't mean to say that he's not playing well in Vermont. Defensively, he's a force out there for sure. He's a great skater. He's a big boy, plays physical. That program stinks though. He can spend 90 seconds in his own zone three or four times a night, because, you know, there isn't enough skill around them. And what has really, the worry I have with him as a player is that, remember, he played when the World Juniors were in, I think it was in Edmonton. Maybe it was right here. I think it was in Edmonton. He was playing second power play minutes for Team Germany. Now, okay, it's Team Germany, but that team was not a bad team. His offense has gone away, like completely gone away. And, you know, so I talk about him all the time on Twitter, or, you know, just saying that it's time for him to move to the next step where he can work with some guys that can help his game offensively. And you really only have to look no further than Michael Kesselring, who's now with Arizona, and what Jason Demers did for him and his offensive game. I think that makes a massive difference to these young players. And he would be, I mean, whatever his goals are, I'm not sure, but from a hockey standpoint, I just think he'd be well advised to sign and get into the pro game.
There you go, Bruce. Appreciate your time as always, man. The 15 minutes always flies by.
All right, you guys Tyler, you're feeling okay now?
Oh God, no. Last night was still miserable for me, but I appreciate you asking, Bruce. I'm just trying to make it through the hour.
Well, it's a new weight loss program you found.
Yeah, thank you. All right, Bruce Gerlach. Right,
take care.
See you, Bruce. Bruce Gerlach on the Star Mechanical guest line. Always good for a chuckle with Bruce. StarMechanical.ca.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Liam, as we continue along, the water thing's interesting. Hey, like if he can become someone that you're starting to pencil in, obviously not next year, but like Bruce said, year and a half from now kind of thing. I wonder if that changes the way you approach certain things on the right side, even this summer.
Yeah, he's a very interesting case for what the future of this blue line is going to be, right? You've got Philip Broberg on the left side, and then he was your first, what was he, eighth overall? And then you got Max Warner, who fell all the way to the seventh. And they're probably your two best prospects on both sides of the blue line. And he's having a good season. And he's just very different from what I think the others are expected from him. But we'll see what happens. But again, that 2021 draft for the Oilers, their worst pick in that draft might be Xavier Bogo, which is not good. Yeah.
But maybe that's why the Oilers keep stockpiling all these sixth and seventh round picks. They know their lane.
Yeah, they're slightly very, very good at picking in the late rounds. I truly do not understand it. But even this Matt Capone kid at Merrimack this season, who they picked in the seventh round, is over a point per game player that now.
All right, the YouTube chat really wants us to get into this, so we will. It's your Sherwood Ford giant question of the show, Liam, brought to you by our friends out at Sherwood Ford, the Giant. We'll have another Sherwood Ford Giant game day edition of the show tomorrow as the Oilers wrap up their road trip in Winnipeg. Also, big shout out to our friends at Sherwood Power Sports and Marine. It's now open and it's the exclusive spot in Sherwood Park for all things Yamaha, which include Yamaha boats, outdoor motors, dirt and street bikes, ATVs, side-by-sides, and motorcycles. Liam, the giant question, what do you make of Evander Kane and his maintenance day yesterday against the Sens?
You know what? Like, one thing I'll say is I don't think he has maintenance days a lot in practice. Like, he does miss a lot of practices through maintenance days. Nurse is another one who typically goes through that as well. I maybe it's just a coincidence that it was Evander Kane, and we've all been like, maybe he needs to be healthy scratched. I'm really not digging too much into it because at the end of the day, it's not like Derek Ryan's a huge upgrade. Like, the Oilers don't have enough competition to knock Evander Kane out of the lineup for a long time. So I think this team is better with Evander Kane in the lineup rather than Derek Ryan. And I think if they were truly trying to send a message to be like, he needs to be better, they wouldn't have covered it with saying it was a maintenance day.
But I do think it was interesting that Chris Knobloch said it was a coaching staff decision to give him a maintenance day.
Did he say that? To be honest, I got home right as the puck dropped, so I missed a lot of the pregame stuff.
Yeah, so I mean, it's interesting. I'm not going to sit here and say it's like the biggest issue. I'm not going to sit here and say it's a non-issue either. So I don't know, man. Let me just go with this as well. What him and Drysdale did on the bench against Toronto, that is nothing. That is absolutely nothing. I don't even view this as two guys being overly heated. This just feels like a conversation you have during the game when maybe you saw something you didn't love or there was a play you want to point out. Like, that is just good leadership. That is nothing to be worth freaking out about. But I think it's worth noting in the context of all of this is Kane sits against Ottawa for a maintenance day. And yeah, Tyler Mulick in the chat says older power forward, he's going to need to miss time. Totally. I totally get that. Second of back-to-backs against a team that you probably should have beaten without Evander Kane, that makes sense too, which is why, like, I'm not sitting here. Like, if they would have done this against the Kings coming up next week, I would have been like, whoa, what's going on here? Sound the alarms a little bit, right? That doing it that game made sense, but at the same time, nobody just misses games for no reason, you know?
Yeah, I mean, It is true. I think they did say, I think John Shannon and maybe it was Gene as well were talking about it and said, like, if this was a playoff game, he would have played. There was a lot of conversation about it, which maybe would lead us to believe that they were trying to cover it up a little bit more too. Cause usually if someone gets scratched, it's okay. They're not in the lineup, but what are they going to do when Cody Ceci inevitably gets scratched? Are they going to cover that up with a maintenance day too? Or are they just going to say you got healthy scratch? Like, they've kind of put themselves in a weird situation if they really are trying to save some face here for Evander Kane. But also at the end of the day, just scratch him. Just say you scratch him. What does it matter at this point? He's always going to be part of the conversation, good or bad. He's Evander Kane. It is what it is. Just say you scratched him.
So TSN's Claire Hanna, this was her tweet. She said, Chris Knobloch says Evander Kane will not play for the Oilers. Edmonton is calling it a, quote, maintenance day. Knobloch says this was a coaching decision, and it was done for, quote, right for the long run. So, again, maybe they're just noticing Kane slipping a little bit, and they're like, hey, you need a night off. I don't know, but either way.
And also, too, like, a while ago when he was on Real Life, and I don't know if you still like this, but he said, like, it was still a long road to fully recovery from him. Like, maybe he had a slight setback from his injury with the against Tampa Bay, obviously. I'm just speculating. Maybe he's just not feeling it right now, too. Like, he hasn't scored a goal since Arizona. Sometimes it's good just to sit in the press box and kind of reevaluate everything.
Yeah.
But again, I've not had a chance to talk about this Draisaitl and Kane thing. They were getting absolutely pounded. Like nobody on that bench was happy. Sometimes you yell at people and then afterwards it's like, hey, my bad. And I actually don't think they were yelling at each other. I think they were having a conversation which looked like they were yelling, which is probably a bit louder than usual because they were in the middle of a hockey game, although the quietest rink in the league. So maybe they could have whispered to each other.
Fair. I'm not buying any of that at all when it comes to the people trying to make a big stink about the Kane Draisaitl thing. It was just nothing. It's worth noting. I think it's always worth noting when something like that happens. But it honestly, when you're getting smoked like that, I'd be more concerned if there wasn't a little bit of a back and forth going on between guys.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, you can see, we talked about the passion they had when Hyman scored. You don't think they probably have the same amount of passion when they're losing too. Like, this team does not like to lose games, especially when you get pounded the way they did on Saturday. That was embarrassing.
Yep. All right, let's keep moving along. You guys are in the office today. I am not. But you guys got a big box of fresh donuts in the office, and it's a nation tradition that when you hit a big parlay, you need to go bring in donuts for the office. And it was Jay who actually nailed one of the pre-built bets over the weekend. So I hope you guys enjoy your donuts. I hope Jay enjoys his winnings. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of the Betway Game Day Betting Challenge. But it's a good time to tell you that with Betway, you can get a free bet up to $200 if your first bet loses. Simply create an account by scanning the QR code on your screen right now and redeem your bonus. Place a bet. No minimum amount required. And if the bet loses, you will get a refund up to $200. You can then use that money to bet on your favorite sports. This offer is only available outside of Ontario and only available with Betway. Sign up by scanning the QR code on your screen right now. Yeah, there you go. J1 Big. What kind of donuts did he bring in?
McDonald's donuts.
I just crushed an Oreo donut. Yeah, it was awesome.
They were mini ones, which was quite tasty. I think I had an Oreo one. I also won big this weekend, Tyler. Not as big as Jay, so I didn't bring donuts. But I hit Zach Hyman anytime goal, specifically in the second period, going into that Ottawa game when they were on the power play. It was like plus 400. I was like, okay, well, they're on the power play, I'll take my chances. And lo and behold, I'm now $100 heir.
Good job, buddy. I'm proud of you. Did you get a bunch of messages about you being engaged?
I did. And then I listened to Oilers Nation Radio. And my favorite part about it all was when you were like, you know what? Liam actually does go back and listen to our shows. And there I was. We were driving home from it because I just had all these people messaging me. I knew what had happened, but I didn't know in what context it had happened. And then,
yeah.
So no, I did not get engaged to everybody's disappointment in the chat and also my girlfriend.
Ah, well, that's a tough break. I got to live with that for 3 years, Liam. So I hope you enjoy being next up.
I'm just going to have to cut it short, aren't I?
Yeah, maybe. good stuff. Let's keep moving along with what we got to wrap up the show today. Get to the Wendy's Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool, Liam. I don't know how you did last week in the Survivor pool.
I've got a confession to make.
Okay.
I made it all the way to Friday. And then I didn't play on Friday.
Oh no, Liam.
I forgot to play, and I'm very disappointed in myself. So this week I vow to make it the same distance and play on Friday.
All right. So what do you like tonight?
I think I might just go with what I want to happen and go with a Vancouver Canucks win.
37% of the pool is on with you. I don't trust myself with anything, so I'm just blindly picking Vancouver over 18 and a half block shots. I don't know if that's attainable. I don't know what they average. I'm just doing it.
There you go. There's only two games tonight, and they are two huge games in the grand scheme of the playoffs. Like, if St. Louis can beat Vegas tonight, then we've got a race in our hands here, folks. I thought it was the Wild. I think they've probably trickled out of it a bit too much now, but a win for St. Louis tonight in regulation would be ginormous.
Yeah, man. It would really make that race a lot more interesting coming down the stretch. Maybe. Never say never. There you go. Wendy's in the Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool. The only thing sweeter than the taste of victory is starting your day with the new Cinnabon Pull Apart from Wendy's. Even if you make a few wrong picks, at least know that by heading to Wendy's for a $5 Cinnabon Pull Apart and a small coffee, that's a winning choice right there. Order today on Wendy's and on the Wendy's app. Liam, let's get into what people are saying over in the Charm Diamond Center's YouTube chat. We got a little bit of time here before we wrap up the show. Matthew's in. Two competitive guys getting a bit heated because they're getting pumped. I'd be more concerned if they were on the bench having a good time. I am with you on that. Naeem says, I would bring up both Holloway and Lavoie. Janmark and Ryan bring nothing to this lineup. Listen, Naeem, I probably would too. I would give each of those guys a look in the final 10 games and see if you can catch lightning in a bottle at some point. Aaron, can we maybe see just the line combos again really quickly? Because I want the visual of it. Like, Holloway's got to come up for the playoffs. You need speed in this bottom six.
There's no Kane here. This is yesterday.
Yeah. So this is yesterday's. So if I were to bring up Dylan Holloway and Evander Kane is healthy and ready to go, like, would you be on, again, you don't want to be burying Evander Kane on the fourth line because I'm sure we can understand how that would go over, but what would we make of McDavid, Nuge, Hyman? If you were to go, even stick with this and go Draisaitl, Henrique, and Fogle as your second line, then what if your third line was Evander Kane, Dylan Holloway, and Ryan McLeod, and your fourth line was Carrick, Perry, and Connor Brown?
The fourth line was what? Sorry, Carrick, Perry, and Connor Brown. And Holloway's on third line?
Holloway's on your third line with McLeod and Kane.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a way to get speed on every line, which you don't have right now.
Does Janmark not quicker than Brown?
You can do either Janmark or Brown. I wouldn't really care personally. They both have their ups. They both have their downs.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I'm just trying to think of this from an Oilers perspective, and I just don't think they'll put Holloway on the third line.
Fair.
I really don't. I think if he's coming up, he's going to play on the fourth line again, and they're just going to do that because there's too many guys who they just don't want to mess about with, you know? Like, I don't see Lavoie getting into this team at all, unfortunately. I think he should have had a longer run to start the season, and I don't think they want to give that to him. I think if anyone's coming up from Bakersfield, it's probably Broberg and Holloway over Holloway and Lavoie. But yeah, I like what you're saying, Tyler. I just don't think they'll do it.
Yeah, and someone said three lefties on one line, three righties on the other. Listen, I'm coming at this purely from an angle of trying to make sure there's speed on every line. If you want to do a similar thing, like, we're living in a world where this top six is going to stay the same. So then maybe you could even do, you know, do you do McLeod, Holloway, and but you need Kane in there. So you go McLeod, Kane, and Perry. Is that enough speed? And then your fourth line at that point would be Carrick, Holloway, and one of Janmark or Brown. Like, that's not terrible either.
What if you go Kane, McDavid, Hyman, Nuge, Dry, Fogle, Holloway, McLeod, Perry, and then whatever the fourth line is.
Hey, let me throw this out there. I liked what I saw when Nuge and Henrique were the third line. I thought Nuge, Henrique, and Perry, although they don't move as well as maybe you'd like, I actually thought they had some sneaky good chemistry. That's three players who all think the game really, really well. And I think Perry will crank it up a little bit come playoff time. So if you wanted to get really weird with it, yeah, you could go Kane, McDavid, Hyman, Drysdale, McLeod, Fogle, Nuge, Henrique, Perry, and then that leaves you a fourth line of Carrick, Holloway, Connor Brown.
Yeah, I like that too. I think those two actually played pretty well together. Henrique's such an intriguing piece in this because like, what do you want him to be? Do you want him to try and be your third line shutdown center, or do you want him to score some goals with Leon Draisaitl? I think I would rather have him in my 3C if I be completely honest.
Yeah, I think so as well. Anyways, there you go. Charm Diamond Centers. Good question. Naeem got us off on a bit of a tangent there. Shout out to Charm Diamond Centers. For more information, go to charmdiamondcenters.com. Find out how you can get a custom ring built and delivered in less than 4 weeks. Hunter says Perry belongs on the third line all day. Here's the thing that I'll say. Like, again, you're splitting hairs here. And I know we just did it with Holloway on the third and fourth line. Ideally, those two lines play the same. They just serve different purposes and play different roles. Like the idea that being on the fourth line is like, oh my God, you play 4 minutes. And being on the third line is like, well, great. Now you're playing 11. If you're a well-rounded, well-balanced team, those two should not be all that different. It should probably be one line that you trust a little bit more in the D zone and one line that has a little bit more upside in the O zone.
I think the conversation with Kane is also interesting. I agree with what you're saying too, but from his play, yes, he probably belongs on the third line, arguably the fourth line.
Yeah.
But you get the best out of him when he plays on the first line. From this last little bit here, so like, what do you want? You know, do you want someone who could go out and score a goal for you every night playing next to Connor McDavid? Or do you want him to become something he's not, playing in the bottom six and then all complain about his defensive efficiencies? Deficiencies.
Yeah.
Flaws.
Fighting Amish says Holloway's talent is wasted on the bottom six. I don't agree with that at all, man. I think if you give him the right opportunities and the right line mates in the bottom six, he can absolutely be a positive impact player for you come playoff time. We'll see. Maybe there's even a chance that by April 6th for the final BOA of the season, we see the Dylan Holloway, back up in the lineup for the Edmonton Oilers. Coming up April 6th, that is going to be our next game day out at Greta, Liam. It's the final BOA of the season. It is 8 o'clock on a Saturday, and we will be at Greta. You can get your tickets today at nationgear.ca. $20 gets you in the door, and proceeds are in support of the Logan Hunter Memorial Fund. We're going to have free swag at the door, prizes to be won, beverage specials, and more. Always a guaranteed great time whenever we go check out our friends at Greta, an unbelievable spot pregame, postgame, and during the game as well. So, nationgear.ca. I'm sure we'll be doing pre and post game shows live on location as well. Saturday nights at Greta, always rocking and always good to be supporting a good cause. In this case, it is the Logan Hunter Memorial Fund. So there you go. Head to nationgear.ca to check out more information on that. Let's wrap up the show with the menu, Liam. It's delivered by DoorDash, 25% off, zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more. All you need to do is download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code NATION25. New episode of Nation Real Life dropping later on this afternoon. I will not be there to police the episode as I usually am, so I'm sure maximum chaos will be ensuing. And new episode of Real Life this afternoon, Liam. A Monday mailbag up at OilersNation.com as well. Don't forget to go read that. Make that a part of your Monday routine over at Oilers Nation. Anything I'm missing?
Not from an Oilers Nation perspective, but I want everyone to know that I watched a movie this weekend. In two sittings, of course, called Manchester by the Sea.
Yep.
And if you have seen that movie, the craziest twist happens like halfway through, and then just ultimate depression kicks in for the remaining hour and 15 minutes. I couldn't believe it.
It's one of the saddest movies I've ever seen before. It made me cry like a little boy.
Mm-hmm. So Tyler, if you're looking for something to do this afternoon while you're recovering, wouldn't recommend that one.
Tyler, you a big crier? You a big crier?
No.
Stone cold.
So. He's a man, damn it.
Yeah, little boy ass play. Anyway. Yeah, and only you would get that. Liam, did you review that on your Letterboxd or on your, what's it called? Letterboxd?
Yeah, Letterboxd.
Okay.
You follow me at Liam Horobin 96. I did. I gave it.
I read the review. It was a good review.
4 out of 5 stars. Casey Affleck, who is a brother of Batman, of course, won Best Actor in 2017. And it was nuts. It was a crazy performance, crazy movie. I also started watching X-Men 97, which was a cartoon from when we were all youngsters. And they just brought it back. Pretty cool. Not as depressing either.
Very good.
Known for being Batman, in your opinion?
No, probably.
That's crazy. Just
the guy from Boston.
The Dunkin' Donuts guy. Yes. Wise Kyle, you didn't cry at the end of Titanic, Tyler. Never seen it, so wouldn't know. Blacklisted, Mater, Nugent, Spivey. I cried a bit Sunday afternoon. I kind of did too, man. That was a not a fun weekend for the Edmonton Oilers, but onwards and upwards, Liam. This team still has a handful of games to go before the end of the regular season. 13, to be exact. Connor McDavid is chasing 100 assists on the year, looking to be just the fourth player in NHL history to do that. The Oilers, outside shot, a top spot in the division, but hopefully this week they can really put their clamp on the top or on the second spot in the Pacific, lock up home ice as well. Liam, I think that's a wrap on our show.
I think that's it, Tyler. I think our time together has come to a close.
It has. We'll be back tomorrow, though. JLB in the make. Oh, Christopher Palmer, DM me. I saw your message in here about the experience. DM me. We'll get it sorted out, and we'll pick a day for you to come on into the studio. Big shout out to everyone in the Charm Diamond Center's YouTube chat. Tomorrow, it's a Sherwood Ford Giant game day edition of things. So our guy JLB around, and I should be back in studio for that bad boy. So look forward to chatting with you all again tomorrow at noon Mountain Time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.